And we're going to talk to someone right now who knows a whole lot about coaching.
Yeah, he sort of set the stage for us. Thank you very much, Curtis. We talk now with Dr. Joaquin Wallace, who is the analyst for the Santa Cruz Warriors, and he knows Quentin Post probably better than anybody in this room.
What's up, Doc?
Hey, what's going on?
Doc, how are you? Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, you know what? I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
So, what we're seeing of Quentin Post, I mean, are you somebody that you've witnessed this firsthand? Has he shown signs of being this guy? And talk about sort of his growth from when he first got to Santa Cruz to where he's at right now.
Well, you know, I've been a fan of Quentin Post. Me and Kevin Dana talked a lot about Quentin Post. And I remember the first time I had a chance to see him play, I was very impressed with his skill set. And what a lot of people don't really understand is that, you know, he has the ability to play from behind the stripe, and he can play within the painted area as well. And one area that I really think that he's really improved on is his ability to score in the post area, in particular from left block to right, using his jump hook over his left shoulder. But then he's also added another tool to the toolbox, which is a jump hook over his right shoulder with his left hand, and which is unique because if you look at most NBA players, bigs, whatnot, they're usually pretty good on one side of the floor, not both sides of the floor. So he's really improving his skill set, and he's also adding another tool to the toolbox. He's able to shoot the ball from the corner threes as well, from the right and left. I do believe his percentage is much higher from the right side corner versus the left side, but that's definitely a weapon that he does have, and it bodes well in this new era of basketball as we see.
Well, and everybody can catch Dr. Joaquin Wallace along with Kevin Dana. Santa Cruz Warriors does a fantastic job. Doc on the color, Kev on the play-by-play. And Doc, I've learned a lot about basketball from you just working with you. It seems like Post is a player that also is kind of a little chippy. He's got a bit of an edge to him. Did you see the confidence that someone like Draymond Green was talking about in training camp, and kind of the vocality as far as being willing to talk, and just, I don't know, the feel he has for the game? Because it was apparent as early as the Sacramento game, even though they lost, and of course on display against the Bulls.
Well, you know, you're going to see Quentin Post play on the Netherlands national team. Mm. Let me tell you that right now. I mean, he's that good of a player. But he plays with a flair, a confidence level, and you see it. I mean, he believes he's one of the best players on the floor at the G League level. He definitely brings a skill set that is unique. He likes to block shots. He loves to run the floor, and when he does foul, he lets the officials know about it as well, and he's not afraid to let the player that he did block know that he was there as well. So, I mean, he's a leader. I mean, I love his confidence, and most importantly, I mean, he's a great teammate.
Dr. Joaquin Wallace joining us here, the analyst for the Santa Cruz Warriors. And so, Doc, that's interesting. I had no idea that he had – I just see him as a stretch five and a guy that could shoot it, like a lot of people, but you're telling us that – he actually has some go-tos out of the pivot, a nice little jump hook with either hand. Where do you see his game going forward as far as an NBA player? Is this a star? Is this a sixth man? How do you project Quentin Post as we think about him 5 years from now?
Well, you know, I think that with an NBA, it's all about fit. And I believe with the right team, he can be a rotational player, or he can be a heavy usage guy as well. But, you know, I want to always say that, you know, my difference between Quentin Post and a lot of players, we talked about the stretch five. I always say you have a stretch four, and he's a flex five. And the reason why I call him a flex five, because he can play inside and outside. So he has a different type of skill set versus just a stretch four, because usually a stretch four, that's all they do. They play from behind the stripe. But a flex five, which I identify him as, is that he can play inside the pivot. He can play outside the pivot as well. And if he gets with the right team, he could be a very good player. Now, maybe the Warriors is the right team if they give an opportunity to play, and they're starting to see that as well. He's introducing himself to the Warriors fan and the skills that he brings to the table. The players know about him inside in terms of the Warrior players, but the fans are now just recognizing, hey, who is this guy, Quentin Post? Where do we get this guy from? And he has a unique ability to score. He has the chippiness, as you mentioned, and he's only going to get better. And I think that's what you look at. You know, I always say in college, your biggest year in terms of college basketball is your first year to your second year, right? Well, the same thing can be said in the NBA. It's your first year to the second year. So this offseason is going to be very pivotal for him, but he's getting what I call OJT, on-the-job training right now. So he's learning as we go, and he's going to be much better in the second year.
Well, and it feels like Santa Cruz has helped the Warriors in multiple areas this year, obviously the NBA club, but someone like Guy Santos has also emerged, and I know that he's been someone that's been back and forth between Santa Cruz since being selected in the second round a couple of years ago. It feels like he, along with Post, and Post more recently, they've injected a bit of energy into Golden State, specifically with Guy, Doc. Is that a player that does he have any lack of confidence whatsoever? Because it feels like whenever he's on the floor, it's infectious. And it feels like the Warriors, when they've been at their best recently because of injuries and needing him to step up, that infectious energy has been present. Is that something that you saw in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at these guys, first and foremost, look at it as when they get a chance to play with the Warriors, they're going to bring a lot of energy because they know they're back and forth in terms of their two-way contracts. So they want to show Coach Kerr and the brass that they do belong. So they're going to come with a lot of energy. They're going to inject a lot of enthusiasm, as you mentioned earlier. And that brings a different pulse to the game, a different DNA. And you're starting to see that as well. It's all about confidence. Yes, I have confidence, but I have to play to gain even more confidence. And you're starting to see that as well, as able to knock down five threes. I believe that was against the Chicago Bulls. Yeah. So he's getting more confident. And guess what? He's seeing his buddy, his teammate, his running mate, who he's played with as well in the G League. He's playing. So they're looking at one another saying, hey, coach, he can play too. Give me the opportunity. He's showing the brass, I can play as well. We can bring that energy that is required, and whatever we can do to help this team win, we can do that because we want to belong and we want to show you that we have the youth. We're going to make our mistakes, but guess what? You'd rather have mistakes made in terms of effort versus mistakes made in terms of mental mistakes. Mm.
Dr. Wallace joins us. He calls games for the Santa Cruz Warriors, and he knows Quinton Post, I think, before he was really unveiled over the last couple of nights, and certainly knows Guy Santos over the years. So the one thing, and listen, I'm going to be that guy, a fan watching Quinton Post, and I'm going to be somewhat critical, and I want you to sort of set me straight if you feel as though that's an ignorant way of sort of analyzing Quinton Post, but I don't see an athlete. And while I can see a guy who can shoot and can make up for some of the fact that he doesn't have the physical tools, but I typically like bigs that jump off the screen at me, that I can just see simply by their gait or by them filling a lane or going up and down the floor. Like, that's an athlete. That's somebody that has a future in this league. Convince me otherwise with Quinton Post for a guy who, again, sort of lacks the at least the physical appearance of being somebody that has those physical tools.
You know, I'm going to take you back to the Indiana Pacers. Remember Rick Smith's?
Sure.
I mean, he was a Dutchman as well. I mean, he really didn't have a lot of athleticism, but one thing he can do is put the ball in the basket. Mm. He was extremely fundamental around the rim as well to play on the pivot. But when you look at Quinton Post, the difference between him and Rick Smith, obviously, I mean, he was one of the greatest players ever in Indiana Pacers. But for the most part, as a rookie, we're talking about a rookie. Yes, he's going to be out-athleted. We know that. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to, the ability to put the ball in the basket. And however you do that, in your skill set brings a different a variety of ways of scoring. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys in the NBA, right, that's not as athletic, but they find a way to put the ball in the basket. You have to do the little things. You have to find where you fit. It's like a piece of the puzzle. Where does he fit? He can play the stretch five. I'm sorry, the flex five. So what does that mean? That means on the pick and roll, it opens up the floor, right? You can't play drop coverage because if you do, he can knock you down from behind and strike. And also it gives Steph Curry, those guys, an ability to get downhill, because if you play drop coverage, you can give it to him. And he can put the ball on the floor, one dribble pull-up as well. So we can't look at them being a non-athlete, so to speak. He can score the basketball in the right situation, he can be a very qualified role player. But again, his biggest jump is going to be from this summer of this year, his first to second year. Again, he's OJT on the job training. So if you look at it for right now, he's averaging 7 points a game currently with the big club. With the when he was at the G League level, he was averaging 18-8 in the tip-off tournament, 21-7. 42% from behind the arc, 78% from the free throw line, 11.7 rebounds. So he's scoring at four levels. Does that translate to the NBA level? Probably not in terms of the points, but he gives you something that you don't have at that five position.
Well, talking at Well, one of the reasons I love talking hoop with you is because you also have opinions on, and not just obviously your coverage with the Santa Cruz Warriors, but the league in and of itself, and especially the Western Conference. Where do you think the Warriors are right now? Because a lot of people, I think, have been making out the next couple of weeks towards the deadline is, you know, they got to make a decision, right? They got to either try and lean into a big player, a big splash, or they got to try and just lean into the young guys and, you know, maybe even bottom out and go to the lottery. Where do you see the Warriors right now? And do you think that this is a team that is just kind of staying above water right now? One of the reasons that Post and Santos have helped so much is because Draymond's been out, Kuminga's been out, Podziemski just came back. Where do you see the Warriors in the Western Conference?
Well, let's talk about the Western Conference, right? I mean, it's the most difficult conference. It's a gauntlet every night.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you have Steph Curry, you have an opportunity. And I'm sure that the brass, they're saying, listen, as long as we got Steph, we got to give him a chance to win. But the conference is so, I mean, it's such an impactful conference in terms of players itself. Now, when we talk about the trade deadline, I've always said this, and I know I've spoken to you off camera about this as well. One of the things that you have to look at, not every player in terms of paper can fit the system. So when you bring in a player, if you're making that transition to bring someone in the trade deadline, does that person actually fit the system? Because the Warriors run a very unique offense. It's the five-out motion set with a lot of zoom action as well. But Draymond Green pretty much initiates the offense. And most players in the NBA probably are not comfortable playing in that style of offense because it's a lot of sacrifice cuts that you have to provide, meaning that you may not get the ball. You got to get open so the other guy can get the ball. And most players are not acclimated to that style of offense. So on paper, yes, you can bring the guy over, but does that person actually fit the system? And I'm sure that's something that they're looking at, and that's why probably they're looking more of the G League level because they run the similar style of offense. So they understand the sacrifice cuts. They understand who's initiating the offense. Because if you look at it, it's a very unique offense, right? You look at the Warriors, they run the offense. The Kings run the offense. The Nuggets run the offense. So you look at who are the leading assist people on those offense. Draymond Green, typically. Sabonis with the Kings. The Joker with the Nuggets. Different style of offense. Not everybody can play in that offense. So if you bring someone to the team, it can probably disjoint the offense as well. And they may not be able to execute the way they want to because it's a different style of offense. The Warriors don't run a pick-and-roll style of offense.
Doc, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for the insight.
Thank you, Doc.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
That's Dr. Wallace. You can hear him calling Warrior games for the Santa Cruz Warriors. Somebody that you're familiar with and a guy that...
Yeah, no, Doc's my dude. Really smart basketball mind, as you heard for a good 15 minutes there, talking about G League players, talking about the West, and just really getting into the nitty-gritty, but has been a head coach at the collegiate level, was lucky enough to do some games with him at St. Mary's over the last couple of years. So I always enjoyed talking to Doc. I mean, that kind of conversation that we just had with him is one that I've had countless times off the air. I just enjoy picking his brain, so glad he was able to
just
take
getting
some
back
time.